Chapter 16. I woke up with someone shaking my shoulder and someone else holding the back of my head against a running bandsaw.
Harry?
Molly said. She was speaking through some kind of megaphone pressed directly against the side of my head, evidently while pounding my skull with the pointy end of a claw hammer.
Hey, boss, can you hear me?
Ow,
I said.
What happened?
Ow,
I repeated, annoyed, as if it should have been explanation enough. Molly let out an exasperated, worried sound.
Do I need to take you to the hospital?
No, I croaked. Aspirin, some water, and stop screaming.
I'm barely whispering, she said, and got up.
Her combat boots slammed down on the floor in great Godzilla-sized rolls of thunder as she went up the stair steps.
Bob, I said as soon as she was gone, what happened?
I'm not sure, Bob said, keeping his voice down. Either she's been working out, or else she started using some kind of cosmetics on her arms. She still had some baby fat when she got the tattoos, and that's always bound to make any kind of changes more noticeable. And
not her, I growled, images of genuine mayhem floating through my agonized brain. Me.
Oh, Bob said. Something hit the model hard. There was an energy surge. Boom. The psychic backlash lit up your mental fuse box.
How bad?
Hard to say. How many fingers am I holding up?
I sighed.
How bad is little Chicago, Bob?
Oh, you've got to be more specific with this stuff, Harry. Could be worse. A week to fix, at most.
I grunted.
Everything's too loud and bright.
I tested my arms and legs. It hurt to move them. An odd and stretchy kind of pain, but they moved.
What happened exactly?
You got lucky, is what. Something you met out there threw a big blast of psychic energy at you. But it had to come at you through your threshold and the model. The threshold weakened it, and little Chicago shorted out when the blast hit.
Or what? I asked.
Or you wouldn't have that headache, Bob said.
Then his eye lights winked out. Molly's boots clumped back down the stairs. She set down on the table a couple of fresh candles she'd brought, took a deep breath, closed her eyes for a moment, and then carefully used the same spell I did to light them. The light speared into my brain and hurt. A lot. I flinched and threw my arm across my face.
Sorry, she said. I wasn't thinking. I couldn't even see you down here and...
Next time just shove some pencils into my eyes. I muttered a minute later.
Sorry, Harry, she said. The aspirin?
I held out a hand. She pressed a bottle of aspirin into it and then pressed a cold glass into my other hand. I opened the aspirin with my teeth, dumped several into my mouth, and chugged them down with the water. Exhausted from this monumental effort, I lay on the floor and felt somewhat sorry for myself until, after several more mercilessly regular minutes, the painkiller started kicking in.
Molly, I said, were we supposed to have a lesson today?
No, she said, but Sergeant Murphy called our house looking for you. She said you weren't answering the phone. I thought I should come over and check on you.
I grunted.
Good call. Any trouble getting through the wards?
No, not this time.
Good. I opened my eyes slowly until they started getting used to the glare of the candles.
Mouse. Mouse probably needs you to let him out.
I heard a thumping sound and squinted up the stairs. Mouse was crouched at the top, somehow managing to look concerned.
I'm fine, you big pansy, I said. Go on.
Molly started up the staircase and then froze, staring back down at little Chicago. I squinted at her, then rose and squinted at the table. There was a hole melted in the metal table, not far from the spot where Greycloak had entered Undertown. One of the buildings was half slagged. The pewter melted into a messy runnel that coursed down the hole in the table like dribbled wax. There was a layer of black soot over everything within several inches of the hole in the table. If the table hadn't taken the magical blow, it would have been my head with the hole burned in it. That had been part of the purpose in creating Little Chicago, as a tool and a safety measure for working that kind of magic. All the same, it was a sobering thing to see. I swallowed. Cowl. It had been cowl.
I'd heard the hatred and venom in his voice, the familiarity, and the overwhelming power of his magic had been unmistakable. He'd survived the Dark Hallow. He was working with this circle, who were almost certainly the Black Council, and there was some kind of larger mischief afoot in Chicago than I had suspected. Oh, yeah. This whole situation was definitely starting to make me nervous. I turned back to Molly and said, "Like I said, this thing is dangerous, Grasshopper, so no playing with it until I say so. Got it?" Molly swallowed. "Got it. Go on, take care of Mouse. Do me a favor and call Murphy's cell phone. Ask her to come here." "Do you need me to help you today?" she asked. "Like, go with you and stuff?" I looked at her, then at the table, then back at her. "Just asking," Molly said defensively and hurried on up the stairs.